translation by Devan Ghosh Chattopadhyay. Sukadev Goswami continued, "Thereafter, having seen that a child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayer to the Lord." Purport: the word Suvishmita, meaning astonished, is significant in this verse. Devaki and her husband, Vasudev, were assured that their child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and could not be killed by Kamsa. But because of affection at the thought of Kamsa's previous atrocities, they were simultaneously afraid that Krishna would be killed. This is why the word Suvishmita has been used. Similarly, we are also astounded upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the Asuras or will continue to advance without fear. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutare Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namne Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashatade Shatari Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutare Shrimate Paradananda Swamiti Namne Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashatari Vancha Karpata Yubya Cha Kripa Sindubya Vacha Patitanam Pavale Bhyo Hare Krishna everyone. I ask for the blessings of all the senior devotees in the room. Well, first of all, this class will be with a French accent. I have to acknowledge. So sorry if someone don't understand everything about the class. If you don't understand everything, you can ask me. You can ask questions or whatever. And if you don't really understand anything, you can ask me after the class and I can explain more. The first point, I have several points about this verse. It's a very interesting verse, and the purport is quite short, actually, but very full of actually realization of Srila Prabhupada. The first amazing thing in this verse is that it is written that Vasudeva and Devaki were afraid. It's literally explained like that. Prabhupada explained it like that. They are afraid, and even in the purport, Prabhupada says, the word Suvishmita is significant in this verse, because Suvishmita means afraid. So we could ask the question, Devaki and Vasudev, why are they afraid? I mean, Devaki and Vasudev are parents of Krishna, and parents of Krishna are, for sure, self-realized souls. Devaki and Vasudev are not like kind of us, you know, pure spiritual soul. So Prabhupada, in many of his purports, explain that a pure realized soul is actually without fear, is fearless. So how is it that here in this verse, Prabhupada says they are fearful? Well, the thing is, the main point of this topic is that actually Devaki and Vasudeva are not afraid for themselves, they are afraid for Krishna. So it's very significant, because it means that the devotee is not afraid for himself, but for Krishna. And it is the same point about, for example, engaging lusts or engaging different qualities. For example, when in a spiritual world, when the gopis ask Krishna to put his feet on their breasts, they don't do it because they are lusty after Krishna, because gopis are pure spiritual soul. So what happened is that they know, as Prabhupada explained, they know that by putting his feet on their breast, they will please Krishna. Krishna will be pleased by putting his feet on the breast of the gopis. So it's not, even though it seems like lust, from a material point of view, it is actually pure love. Same with the gopas. The gopas, in the spiritual world, it is explained in many verses and many pastimes from the Acharya. It is explained that the gopas go in the spiritual world and they see all the prashadam, the beautiful prashadam, and they, it is explained that water mouthing, you know, like the saliva comes to the mouth, saliva comes to the mouth, you know, and they are like, you know, like, my God, so nice pressure them, you know? But actually, it is, we could, again, from a material point of view, we could think, you know, oh, then they are, you know, greedy, you know, greedy like us, finally. But actually, it is not. Because the gopas are pure spiritual soul, again, like Devaki and Vasudev or Yashoda and Nandan. So actually, they are not greedy for themselves, but they know this sanctified food will be pleasing for the Lord, for Krishna. So again, the point is to use everything, greediness, lust, even anger, or whatever qualities, for Krishna. So, to be back on the verse, it is explained, as I said, that spiritual souls, self-realized souls, are not afraid for themselves. And we could remember how Prabhupada was not fearful for himself. Actually, he came, you all know the story, obviously, he came after almost 70 years old to the Western countries with something like 30 rupees in his pocket, you know, and some books. Which is really nothing. 30 rupees is not even, I don't know, some 7-up can or something. So he came to this Western world not for himself and not also out of fear or whatever, but for giving Krishna to others, giving Krishna to the Western countries, especially. Everywhere. I mean, also he went back to India and preached in India. Now we know how India is so much successful, like Russia. You know, one Swami was, one devotee was saying, ISKCON became IRSKCON, Indian and Russian Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, there are so much devotees in Russia and in India that we can even wonder, you know, how we can spread this movement back in the Western countries, in Europe and in America. So my point is, he came to these Western countries not for himself, but for Krishna, to give Krishna. And Prabhupada was not fearful for himself at any point. No, he was in the streets in New York City, and he was like, you know, with all these homeless people, you know, the streets smell like urine. Some homeless people that know Prabhupada were passing stool on themselves, sorry to say, but we have to also say the truth. So they were passing stool on themselves, and they were smelly like anything, and Prabhupada was with them. But out of mercy of from himself and for Krishna. And he lived for several months with them before to really make devotees. So Prabhupada, again, was not fearful. And a real devotee, not even a pure devotee, but a devotee is not afraid for himself. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as well was not afraid of anyone. No, he was going in the street of India and Mayapur and meeting so many Mayavadis, and they many times they challenged him. They try even to kill him at some point. You know? They try to kill him, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was never afraid of them. So another point, interesting, very very big point actually. We could speak for hours and hours on this point. In the purport is the point of as Prabhupada said. To carry on, I can exactly read what Prabhupada say, actually, it's better. Similarly, we are also astounded upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the Asuras or will continue to advance without fear. So here, we have an interesting point about how we can think about this purport and think ahead of us, you know, the future of ISKCON. What will be the future of ISKCON? Okay, one point is, Prabhupada said, you know, Asuras can attack our spiritual movements, but what about the devotees themselves in the movement? For example, one interesting and important point is sadhana. We all have spiritual life here, we are all devotees, and sometimes I speak to devotees as well sometimes. And we speak about sadhana and how to perform sadhana. And many times I hear this statement that more or less Sadhana is waking up early in the morning, 4 o'clock, going to Mangalarati, 4:30, and then chanting 16 rounds, and that's it. You can just carry on with your day after this, you know, japa. Okay, we can see the deity greeting for a short while, 5 minutes. Sometimes to the class, not all the time. And then, you know, the day is going on, and then we don't even have to think about Krishna sometimes, you know, we just do our service, you know, for Krishna, and then we don't even pay attention of Krishna, hands of Krishna, as Sutapa said two days ago, I guess. We cannot see the face of Krishna right now, but we can see the hands of Krishna in every day and in day-to-day life, every minute, every second coming and going. We can see the hands of Krishna in everything we do. But we do our service, you know, probably service is important, you know, as Shripada Indra said, first service and then samadhi later, you know. So, service is, of course, is very important. Service is one of the main components of Krishna consciousness, but we should also try to remember Krishna. And sadhana doesn't mean only to remember Krishna. It's actually to do japa, to do reading. It's very important. How you can be Krishna conscious if you don't read? I know before Mano, I mean, I'm a traveling preacher. I was in Radhadesh for 4 years, and I spoke with many devotees, and many devotees said, I'm not Krishna conscious, no, I'm not Krishna conscious. Like if it was a kind of natural thing, no, I'm not Krishna conscious. No. But actually the natural thing is Krishna conscious, is Krishna consciousness, is to be aware of Krishna in any time. This is a real natural thing of the soul. So these devotees said, I'm not Krishna conscious. I said, just read. Just read Prabhupada's books. Just read Acharya's books, you know, the books of our Acharyas. Just read Prabhupada's books and the books of our Acharyas. You can read 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours a day. And you can do service in the same time, no problem. You can manage your life, you can manage your day by reading books and do your service. Combine both of them. It's not a problem. Another thing in sadhana, with my very small and tiny experience I got, is to write a book or to write a blog or to write a notebook or something about your realization, about your day, about what did you do today, or what did you think about today, what did you speak about today, and keep a journal, you know, keep a small notebook and write your experience. I was speaking with a devotee recently, and he was saying he's married. Is Grihastha, and he was telling me, you know, I would like to write something. I would like to write a blog. I would like to write a notebook. But my wife says it's not important. She's a devotee, by the way, and she said it's not important. So I feel that I should not write. No, I should not try to write. And I tell him, no, you should write. So many devotees here in the manor, brahmacharis. Are writing books, are writing notebooks or notes or journal. It's very important. And you know, sometimes the culture, I don't know in England, but in France, what happened is that writing a journal is, we say, is for ladies. You know, it's like for young ladies, you know, or adolescent ladies or whatever. And actually, in France, it's a common thinking. You know, it's, no, you are a man, you know, don't write a journal. You know, sometimes you know, we have this in France. You know? And then I'm not a lady so far, not in this lifetime, but I really love to write. So because I'm brahmachari or because I am a man, I should not write. No, we should write every day. Actually, Prabhupada asks every devotee to write his own realization, to speak about his realization. Even if it's just one phrase a month, or a week, or a day, but at least write something. Write realization. So this is part of the sadhana. Another thing is interesting is, I was listening to a class recently about the extra endeavor. I try to pronounce nicely because it's not easy for a French guy. The extra endeavor. No, how to make the extra endeavor of Krishna consciousness. It is very interesting because again, as I say, sometimes, especially if we are in a temple, we think, no, I am settled down, I am in a temple. Brahmacharis, no, we are in the temple, we do service for Krishna. Depend which kind of service, I mean, not which kind of service, but which kind of consciousness you do this service, because it's not because you are in the temple that you do service for Krishna. It's depend of consciousness. So extra endeavor means, no, we are settled down, so no problem. No, I'm chanting 16 rounds a day, daily, and then that is. No, I'm good. I'm doing my service. But this is kind of very narrow kind of vision. First of all, extra endeavor means to not chant 16 rounds of Shnik Shnik Ram Ram. Is to chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's not Shnik Shnik Ram Ram, because many times we pass by a devotee with chanting, and we hear Shnik Shnik Ram Ram, no, or something like this, you know. There is an interesting story about this. One devotee, I'm sure everyone knows this story. No, one devotee was chanting Shnik Shnik Ram Ram, no, for his whole life. No, 20 years, 30 years, I don't know, 50 years, 70 years, whatever. And then he passed away, and he went back to Godhead. But then something very strange appeared to him. He's this kind of very ugly guy, blue guy, you know? Like very small and very, like, handicapped kind of people, so it was. Very skinny and very ugly. And the sadhu, and this guy, this devotee, asked, "Who are you?" You know? And the blue, and the ugly guy say, "I am Shnik Shnik Ram Ram." Hare Krishna. So if you want the real thing, you have to chant the real thing, and not Shnik Shnik Ram Ram. Then secondly, Prabhupada say at least, because this at least we quite forget lot of time. It's not 16 rounds. "Oh, Prabhu, I finished my 16 rounds." First of all, we don't finish rounds. We complete rounds, but we don't finish rounds. And then, it's not 16 rounds. It's at least 16 rounds. This is an extra endeavor. Now, I remember pastime of Yashoda. When she wanted, I will go back on this point, but she wanted to tie up Krishna. And she was trying to do the extra endeavor. So it's a little bit the same for us, you know? We chant 16 rounds and that's it, but actually, Prabhupada himself say 16 rounds on the beat, 100 rounds in the mind. 16 rounds, I'll let you write down, Prabhu. 16 rounds on the beat, 100 rounds on the mind, in the mind. So Prabhupada was very clear on it. We should not forget these points. Prabhupada said, it is our acharya, no? He's our founder acharya, no? And then we cannot forget his words. So, and especially if you want to come to Madhyam Adhikari platform, no, we are all, I mean, not all. I am Kanishta Adhikari. And I don't want to see Kanishta Adhikari all my life. No, I don't want to see Kanishta Adhikari for like years and years and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. I want at some point, hopefully, to reach Madhyam Adhikari. And to reach Madhyam Adhikari, and I'm quoting, Indra said in the scriptures, Madhyam Adhikari are chanting 3 lakh of Naam daily. 3 lakhs. So, if we chant only 16 rounds, it's just a comfortable life, no? Way of life, no? Oh, yeah, 16 rounds, that's it. But we will not go to the spiritual world like that. We will not go, no, we cannot go to the spiritual world just because we were chanting 16 rounds daily. We need, first of all, the mercy of Prabhupada, and we need to do the extra endeavor. Again, we need to do this extra endeavor, this more than 16 rounds, or more than just doing service, or, no. So, as well, we should, no, for people living outside, a temple. Sometimes we, I know because now I am a little bit outside of the temple for a while, and sometimes we you know, we watch TV, you know, or listen radio, or, but we should not indulge in this watching TV and everything. No, watching no Bollywood movies, no Hollywood movies. No. We don't want Hollywood, you know. We don't want Bollywood. We want Krishna Wood, you know. We don't want half-naked woman dancing with half-naked men, no. We want Radha and Krishna dancing with the gopis. That's what we want. That is our real goal, no. We want to be part of pastime of Krishna. We want to be part of, you know, Vrindavan, no. Being forest of Vrindavan with Krishna, no? Playing with Krishna, listening to Krishna, speaking to Krishna. So this is also a very important point. Try to not indulge in watching TV, movies, and all these things. And also a very important point. But actually, Prabhupada explained his purpose. He explained himself. I mean, not directly. But by saying that we should watch our ISKCON movement is also to how to innovate in Krishna consciousness. How to innovate in Krishna consciousness. We should innovate. Again, Krishna consciousness is not a point about living in the ashram or outside the ashram. Because Krishna consciousness is not a point about postcode. It's not if you have the right postcode, then you are safe, no, and you will go back to Godhead. You can be outside, you can be inside, depend on your consciousness. So we should definitely do this extra endeavor. And why I mean this is because in the pastime of Yashoda, and you know, this Damodar pastime, Yashoda was trying to tie up Krishna. Very, you know, because she was upset after him. And he was naughty as usual. Krishna was naughty, and then Yashoda tried to tie him every time. And she was asking for more ropes because she was always two fingers too short all the time. And she put a rope again, and another rope, and another rope. And then at some point, she didn't have any rope anymore. So what she did is to ask the gopis around in Vrindavan to give more ropes for her, because she didn't have any ropes anymore. So what she did is to ask around the gopis, please give me your ropes because I need to tie Krishna. Of course, the gopis didn't ask why you have to tie it Krishna, but well, they give more ropes. And what does it mean for us? It's an important point, an important pastime, because this asking others to help us is sankirtan. Sankirtan means we ask others to participate to Krishna consciousness. No, it's like we have a friend, and then this friend doesn't know how to chant or is a little bit interested in Krishna consciousness. Then ask him to come join the temple, not inside the temple for necessary, but to come on a Friday evening, bhajan, for example, and come and just play with us, you know, just chant, even if you chant wrongly, you know, even if you don't have such a nice voice, at least participate to Radha and Krishna's Sankirtan. Because what we are part of in this movement is Sankirtan revolution. It's a Sankirtan revolution. Many times, you know, we speak about philosophy, but we forget that it's also a very practical understanding and practical way of applying Radha, Krishna, Sankirtan. Sankirtan's revolution means revolution. It's a revolution for all countries, in our world. We should be aware of that. We should not stay in a temple just because we are in a temple. Again, I have the right postcode, so that's good. And I am with my friends. I'm chanting 16 rounds, and that's it. No, we should go outside and preach, as so many brahmacharis and brahmacharinis does. They go outside and do Sankirtan. Like book distribution. But we should also do Arinam. I mean, I'm a little bit sad when I go on Saturday midday Arinam and I don't see actually so much devotees joining. Because our Kali Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan. And it is specially Arinam. Arinam is a Sankirtan, Arinam is a Kali Yuga Dharma. So we should go outside and preach Krishna consciousness to anyone and everyone. We should chant the holy name of the Lord for everyone. And it doesn't matter which dress, again, this is a very important point, doesn't matter which dress, I am with a bed sheet on me or not. No, it's not a question about having a dhoti, having a sari, or having... No, the point is to give Krishna consciousness to others as Prabhupada did with us. Because without the mercy of Prabhupada and devotees, we would not be here, right now. So we should give Krishna consciousness to others by chanting the holy name of the Lord outside, inside the temple, everywhere, in the three worlds. Because this revolution, this Sankirtan is a revolution, no? And it will be spread in the three worlds, as Prabhupada said and as Chaitanya said. You know, we should especially take advantage of chanting now, because we can chant now. But we don't know, we're in England. I mean, it's more or less a democratic country. But we don't know, Asuras are on their way, Seriously, Asuras are on their way. And we don't know if in 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, we could chant Hare Krishna anymore. We don't know. Who knows? In France, it's the same. No? And in Germany, or everywhere, it's already like that in Muslim countries. We cannot chant Hare Krishna. And why not in France or in England? We don't know. We don't know the future. So we should take this advantage that we can chant Hare Krishna right here, right now, to chant more. Why not 1,64,000 rounds? No, it's not, it takes 5 hours, I think, or something like this. So we should take this advantage as devotees, and especially take this advantage of chanting and take this advantage of giving Krishna to others and not just being in our own little world. I see so many devotees preaching Krishna consciousness, and which is good. No, I see one devotee here. He's a bhakta leader, and he's always preaching to the bhaktas, which is very good. He's always encouraging bhaktas. Never get upset. Never, no, and his behavior is just the right behavior, the right consciousness. Never push someone, but try to give Krishna consciousness. We should not be too heavy on devotees and non-devotees. But we should be in this right consciousness of, try to correct people without too much pushing them. And in the same time, giving Krishna. Because Krishna, don't forget something. Krishna is not a religious fanatic. Krishna is the Lord of love. And Krishna gives love to everyone. And even he gives love to non-devotees. My God. Yes, he's giving love to non-devotees as well. So, giving Krishna means giving love to others. And love knows no bounds. So, by preaching sweetly, because sometimes I see we can be fired up in our preaching, especially between devotees, and we can be sometimes heavy on them, or they can be heavy on us, and then we can also blow out. It's like too much. No, so we should always remember in front of us we have a devotee who is very low to Krishna, very dear to Lord Krishna. So we should not We should not be too much heavy on others. We should just give love for Krishna. Prabhupada was like that. Okay, he has many different relationships with many different devotees, but he was loving all the time. One very beautiful story I really like and appreciate is one day Prabhupada was, it was quite already old, I mean it was like in 75 or 76 something. And the devotee was massaging him because he was quite sick. And two devotees came in the room and for the daily reading of letters. And someone was writing a letter to him, to Prabhupada, and the one devotee was reading this letter. And in this letter, it was said, "Oh, dear Srila Prabhupada, I want to be part of your movement, but I can't stop smoking cigarettes. And I am very unfortunate. I am very sorry for myself. I cannot take part of this movement." And all these sad statements. And one devotee was like, "You see, cannot even stop smoking. What to speak about becoming a devotee?" And they were speaking like that. And Prabhupada suddenly turned towards this devotee, and he was crying. And he said to his devotee, to this particular devotee, and he said, "Don't you see that he tries to be a devotee?" So, that's the point. We should not be too heavy on anyone, because everyone actually is trying his best. So, yeah, basically, give Krishna consciousness, take advantage of chanting 64 rounds of Hare Krishna and not Shnikshin Kramram, because otherwise you will see Shnikshin Kramram in the spiritual world, and we don't want to see Shnikshin Kramram, we want to see Krishna. Thank you very much. I think I would finish here. Any questions or comments or donations or political statements?